thing. Even the sky has no limit.
There are some moments only the forest can inspire. Find yours at discovertheforest.org. Learn about forests near you and discover cool things to do when you go. Your moment is out there. Find it at discovertheforest.org.
Brought to you by the U.S. Forest Service and the Ad Council.
The United States is lifting a ban on selling military equipment to Vietnam, USA's Anthony Lucero reports.
President Obama says it's the next step in normalizing relations between the two former enemies.
Both sides have established a level of trust and cooperation, including between our militaries, that is reflective of common interests and mutual respect.
At a press conference in Vietnam alongside that nation's president, Obama said lifting the ban was part of broadening U.S.-Vietnam cooperation, including issues of trade and security. He referenced recent territory disputes in the South China Sea, where China has been building up islands to back up its maritime claims. Obama said the U.S. is not taking sides in the disputes, but hopes for a diplomatic solution. As for concerns about human rights issues in Vietnam, Obama said the communist nation has been making modest progress. I'm Anthony Lucero.
This is USA Radio News. Breaking news online at usaradio.com.
Oof.
Driving has a rhythm all its own. Don't wreck it with a text. Before you get behind the wheel, silence your phone. Or better yet, designate a texter. For more text-free driving tips, visit stoptextstoprex.org. Brought to you by the Ad Council and the National Highway Traffic Safety Administration.
Six people are being checked out by doctors after an unknown substance was found at a Planned Parenthood building in Sarasota, Florida. There were 38 people in the office when the substance was found, and all of them will go through a decontamination procedure. The substance was found on the second floor, but the entire building has been evacuated. The Dallas area mom who treated herself to a roaring Chewbacca mask is treating the company that makes it to a monster bestseller. Here's John DeMaster.
Candace Payne's Facebook video of herself laughing hysterically after slipping on the mask has gone viral with a vengeance.
Sandhill Rosa.
That
video
has been seen more than 135 million times since she posted it last Thursday. That mask is now sold out online. The mask by toymaker Hasbro is officially out of stock at Walmart, Target, Toys R Us, and Kohl's, where Payne got hers. There are some masks online from private sellers, but they're running more than $200. The mask retails for only about $45. For USA Radio News, I'm John DeMaster.
The NFL will name three Super Bowl host cities this week. The league's 32 owners meeting in North Carolina for their annual spring gathering, awarding sites for the 2019 through 2021 Super Bowls. One of the biggest items on the agenda. Atlanta, L.A., Miami, New Orleans, and Tampa Bay all bidding to host a Super Bowl. This is USA Radio News. Breaking news online at usaradio.com.
Did you know that one in five people are affected by mental illness? NAMI Hunterdon is the locally affiliate for NAMI, the National Alliance on Mental Illness. We are all volunteers, and all our programs are free of charge. We offer Family to Family, a 12-week course for families that have an adult member with a mental illness. Another popular program is In Our Own Voice, where individuals who are living with mental illness discuss their challenges and their progress in overcoming those challenges. Another course we offer is Basics, a 6-week course for families with a child or an adolescent who has experienced mental illness. We also have a monthly support group for families on the third Thursday of every month. Please call NAMI Hunterdon at 908-284-0500 for more information about any of our programs or to join. NAMI Hunterdon, the voice for mental health in Hunterdon County.
Hey, this is Big C of Good Morning Hunterdon on HuntingChamberRadio.com. Like what you hear on Hunterdon Chamber Radio? Now you can take it with you. Download our Hunterdon Chamber Radio app from iTunes and Google Play Store now. Get schedules, station information, listen live, or to the latest podcasts. Everything in the palm of your hand or in your car during your commute. Get the HuntingChamberRadio.com app today.
Let Stowaway Self-Storage be your local moving and storage solution. With three great locations in Hunterdon County, Stowaway is conveniently located in Flemington, White House, and Lebanon. Stowaway Self-Storage offers sizes from 5x5 to 50x50, discounted packing supplies, and U-Haul rentals on site. Affordable monthly rentals for your personal and business use. Let Stowaway help you park your car in the garage again or store those old records that you need to keep. Visit us at stowawayselfstorage.com and mention this ad to receive 50% off your first month's rent.
The weather this afternoon, possible a thunderstorm after 4 o'clock, and then showers were likely. Prior to that, it's been partly sunny with a high near 75. Northeast winds around 6 miles an hour, becoming calm. There's a 60%+ chance of precipitation tonight. Tonight, showers are likely and possibly a thunderstorm before 7 p.m., then scattered showers. Cloudy with a low around 54, light and variable winds. Tuesday, a chance of showers with thunderstorms, also possible afternoon. Mostly cloudy with a high near 75, north winds around 7 miles an hour. Tuesday night, partly cloudy with a low around 54, light west winds. Wednesday is sunny with a high near 83, there we go, west winds 3 to 8 miles an hour. And Wednesday night, partly cloudy with a low around 61. Good afternoon and welcome to the Hunterdon Medical Center's Hour on Hunterdon County Chamber Radio, compliments of the Hunterdon Chamber of Commerce. I'm Larry Cartwright, your host, and we're very privileged to have with us today Andrew Overman, who is a personal trainer. Is that correct?
Physical therapist.
Physical therapist. I'm sorry, I said personal trainer. Okay. Senior physical therapist?
Correct.
Okay. How did I ask everybody the same question right off the bat, because I'm always interested in the answer. I ask people how they get into that type of work, and some have said, well, I had one gentleman said, I had two kids, a mortgage and car payments, and he says this job came up and I took it. I've been doing it for 20 years now. So, and others said they wanted to do it since they were a kid or whatever, you know. So I was just curious, how'd you get into this training business?
Well, as with respect to physical therapy, I played sports throughout my entire life. Actually, I played Division I football as well. And over the course of those years, I had my own fair share of injuries and rehab experiences, and through all of that, I think I just became kind of attached to the idea of physical therapy and rehab and what it offered, and also the interaction with people and the experiences you got to have within it from the standpoint of working with different age groups, different people. So after college, I volunteered for a year and went back to graduate school and got my master's, got my doctorate, and here I am.
Wow. And I don't know, I just don't think of, yes, I played some sports and mm-hmm. only in high school, and then after graduating high school, I went right in the service. But I don't picture someone, you know, like you said, you played sports and stuff, mm-hmm. and you have injuries, you know, either whatever it may be, you know, you may break your arm or throw your shoulder out, right, or right. whatever the case may be. And I don't vision someone who's playing sports get an injury and say, gee, I want to do this down the road, you mm-hmm. know, help somebody get over their injuries,
right,
you know.
Right.
I just, you know, it's just kind of interesting to me because I think that's a pretty cool, actually, you know.
Oh, and I think it's particular to each person. I think my personality, I always enjoyed the health field, medicine, whether.
Okay.
And in college, I wasn't quite sure if I wanted to go to medical school. At one point, I thought I might want to be a veterinarian.
Mm-hmm.
And with physical therapy, it's kind of something I just fell into and realized it
okay.
sort of fit the mold of all the things that I was really interested in. So
right.
I think some personalities, again, I had a lot of teammates I played football with who went into finance, who went into medicine, so
right.
all different areas. I
right.
just happened to gravitate towards physical therapy.
I just find it very interesting how people get into their various, you know, lines of work.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I'm one of the ones who had four kids, a mortgage, car payments, and, you know, insurance. And it, a job came along, and I jumped on it. And I was in it for, well, close to 20 years, you know.
Right. Okay.
Yeah. And I, you know, I even grew to like it after a while, you know.
That's a positive.
But, you know, yeah, you know. But when I took it, it was just, you know, okay, I'll supervise the warehouse, you know. And
it's,
you know,
paycheck, it gets things.
Yeah, done. Exactly. You know, I got, you know, paid the insurance. I wouldn't lose the house, you know. Because at one point, I was even thinking about going back into service because, okay, you know, we were that, you know, that broke, you know. Wow. So it, well, you know, four kids and, you know.
It adds up.
Yeah. And, you know, you had to have two cars and you're paying insurance and you're paying a mortgage and you're paying taxes, real estate taxes, you know. And so, you know, I was thinking, gee, if I go back into service, at least medical will be taken care of, you know, and right, stuff. Right. So, you know, but in one way, I'm glad I didn't, you know. But it's just interesting, you know, how I just ask people that all the time. Not that it has anything to do with anything. I just am interested to realize how they got in that type of business, you right. know. And what they're doing. Now, your role with Hunterdon Healthcare is physical therapy.
It is. We have, within Hunterdon Healthcare, we have five different offices, five outpatient physical therapy offices. So my office is Hunterdon Sports and Physical Therapy. And we also have an office, physical therapy office on Westcott.
Okay.
Which is right next to the hospital. Mm-hmm. And we have two wellness centers, one Clinton Wellness right. Center and then the White House Wellness Center. We also have an office in Washington. It's another outpatient physical therapy group. And we have an inpatient physical therapy office. So actually altogether, that's, if I count correctly, that's six.
Right.
And I'm the senior therapist or manager of my office in particular, but I also am the business development coordinator for all of our offices, which entails...
I was just going to say, why don't you elaborate on what that is?
And that's actually a big emphasis is on getting familiar with various physician groups so they know who we are and what we're doing, but also reaching out to various community organizations, YMCA and HealthQuest being two very kind of familiar names, and offering our services with respect to grassroots seminars, injury prevention seminars, awareness, educational topics, low back pain prevention, neck pain prevention. Things like that where we'll volunteer our time and just really educate different groups to kind of help improve awareness and hopefully help reduce the chance of injuries or aches and pains. So that my reach or role in that regard extends not only to just the area of Flemington, but up to Washington, through Clinton, White House, even down into Lambertville, really wherever there are opportunities that we can connect with different organizations and groups. It's something we look forward to.
Do you find that with the health and wellness centers in White House and Clinton, I'm familiar with the one in Clinton, very familiar with it, in fact. Do you find that people who go there, what's the percentage of injury from people that go there, trying to lift weights and they put too much on and, you know, strain their back or whatever the case may be? Do you find that
there's a greater
big difference, or
I would actually say there's a smaller incidence or percentage of people who are going to wellness centers or any kind of wellness clinic, whether it be some of the local fitness places like Retro Fitness, Planet Fitness. I think generally we see injuries in those individuals. They tend to be overuse injuries, not so much traumatic, but I'd say a greater percentage of people are those who aren't active, who aren't participating in going to their fitness centers or exercising, and who are dealing with chronic aches and pains, back pain, neck pain are great examples, shoulder pain, because in my estimation, it's those people who probably would benefit from increased activity. And the body over time tends to start to develop areas that aren't moving as well, muscles that are getting tighter, joints that are getting stiffer, and over time eventually present as various aches and pains. So I'd say that's the higher percentage. The people who aren't necessarily exercising or active at fitness centers or the wellness centers.
Yeah, it's like when they were building Clinton. In fact, they didn't have it all built, and I signed up to go there, and I was there for quite a few years, and I found that, well, even now where I go in Flemington here to Planet Fitness, actually. Oh, okay. But it's a matter of, how can I say it? Like, if I do something, a trainer there had told me, you know, well, do these, because I had both my knees replaced. Mm-hmm. So there's certain machines I can't work, you know, and do and stuff. So they worked out a program for one day and a different program for the second day, you know, so I'm not doing the same. Mm-hmm. And, but I find that if for other reasons I don't go for a couple days and then go, I'm sore as hell in plain English, you know. I mean, I know I'm getting older, but, you know, geez, you know, really, you know.
Right, right.
But it's just the soreness, not because it's been strained or anything. It's just that you haven't used the muscles for a couple of days, and now it hurts, you know, or aches. It doesn't hurt. It aches.
It's a constructive soreness.
Yeah, there you go. You know, but it's I find that it's like, you know, when I go back and do the machines again, it's like I'm okay again. You know, mm-hmm. when mm-hmm. I don't do them for a couple of days for whatever the reason and I go back, then I'm, oh God, right. You know, I can't move my arm up or, you know.
That's right. Yeah. Your body's not happy with
you. Yeah. No, exactly. You know. But do you find it's better to, let's say for argument's sake, a person's going to go four times a week, say. Mm-hmm. to a wellness center or whatever, do you find that it's beneficial to them not to do the same things over and over and over every day?
Very much. And that
and
variety.
Why is that? I don't, you know.
Well, I think it speaks to the idea of a balance.
Okay.
And also a variability in the routine to keep your body and the muscles and the joints from becoming accustomed to the same exercises. Because that variability and numerous studies will show changing things up and keeping a program that has is variety, that has variety, maximizes sort of your benefit, maximizes the strength gains, the flexibility gains, the endurance gains. So those are things from a physical therapy standpoint, when we're seeing patients, we're putting together a program that's kind of a base for them to, A, help recover from any particular injury or ailment, but also provide them a foundation, one, of a program they can do on their own, but two, also give them an awareness and understanding of what things they can work on and what kind of exercises they can do to build on the home program or the base program we've developed. Mm-hmm. So
okay.
That way, again, in the same way, if you do one particular exercise every day for a year, the benefits for that particular exercise will slowly decrease over time because the body becomes accustomed to it. It becomes routine.
Right, right.
And that routine decreases the overall stimulation and the difficulty the body might have in performing mm-hmm. a certain exercise. Mm-hmm.
So it's different to change them.
Yes, it's key. It's a critical it's a critical part of kind of maximizing what you gain from being active in exercise or participating in any kind of exercise program.
Right, okay.
To change things up.
That's interesting. I do that, you know. I mean, they gave me a list and do this one day and do this the next day, you know. Mm-hmm. So I do it, you know. It's just that I was just – and I know they probably explained it to me, but I, you know, like went, whoa, right over the head, you know. So I was just curious. That was my own, you know, little thing. What does sports therapy entail?
Well, and that the name of our office is 100 Sports and Physical Therapy. So sports therapy is – I'd say we don't necessarily – it's an aspect of our office. It's an aspect of all five outpatient offices mm-hmm. that we have. And a sports physical therapy would really be specific to an athlete who's returning to a particular sport, an athlete who's had an injury, and the goal of physical therapy is returning to not only just regular function but returning to that sport.
Okay.
So that's sports therapy, whereas physical therapy, which is something that's a part of all of our offices, is – specific to whether anything from an injury, a traumatic event that has left a person unable to walk or function the way they typically would on a daily basis, or perform a particular activity that they enjoy, whether it's a recreational sport or a hobby, playing an instrument. Physical therapy, the goal is really helping a person recover from particular injuries or dysfunctions or pain and returning to what we call their normal everyday life. And that could be going back to work. It could be participating in recreational activities, hobbies, anything like that, or just everyday activities.
And it doesn't have to come from exercising or sports. It could be
no. In fact, a lot of back
could be
and neck
chopping
pain.
Wood or something, and you hurt your back. You know,
very much. It could be from sitting at an office, sitting at a desk all day long, working on a computer. Oftentimes, back and neck pain, a majority of times, comes more from the cumulative effect of time, posture, daily habits that leads to an eventual pain or stiffness
mm-hmm.
or dysfunction,
okay.
as opposed to a traumatic event like a fall or chopping wood or an abrupt position change. So we cover all of those bases and really, in part, try to understand the why of what's going on. A person coming in with back pain, for instance, it's not simply treating the pain, which is actually just a symptom of an underlying cause. We really try to figure out exactly what the cause of a
okay.
person's pain is in order to understand why it's happening and how to basically heal from it
mm-hmm.
and get stronger, not only in the moment, but also in the future. For a person to understand, okay, here's your back pain, for instance, is the result of muscle tightness, joint stiffness, and some weakness in certain areas. Here are the things we need to do to improve, get
right.
rid of your pain, get you back to feeling well and participating
mm-hmm.
in everyday life.
Mm-hmm.
And these are the things you want to continue to do once you're done with physical therapy to avoid this kind of thing coming back again. So physical therapy, the experience is not only the recovery from particular injuries, for instance, but in large part understanding the why of those injuries or those ailments, pain, so a person doesn't have to experience them or so a person can reduce the chance that they experience them in the future.
Okay. And is sports therapy, how did I say it, mainly used for athletes or can it be used for anybody?
Well,
depending on their
It depends
situation.
On a person's activity level. A sports, I'd say we don't typically refer to what we're doing as sports therapy. It will refer to what we're doing based on the person with whom we are working. So if I'm working with a high school athlete, my approach will most likely have a greater emphasis on higher level movements, agility activities, plyometric drills, higher level strengthening activities to enable that particular athlete or individual to return to that sport. But within that program, in that
mm-hmm.
physical therapy experience, we're probably going to start with some much lower level activities to establish a foundation of strength or flexibility or postural awareness so that the person can build off of that in a way that has them as strong and as stable as possible. So sports therapy, I would say, is just kind of a small aspect of what
the
physical
whole
therapy is.
Physical therapy.
In particular to individuals playing sports and not just organized sports. I mean, we have adults, 20, 30, 40, 50, 60 who are playing in softball leagues, basketball leagues, soccer leagues.
Right.
Again, that's a sport. And they suffer injuries in those sports and want to get back to them. And with that in mind, their physical therapy can have more of a sports therapy emphasis because that's one of their ultimate goals is to get back to playing said sport.
I have a friend of mine who I've known for years who's going to be 80 in September and plays basketball three times a week. Mm. And God bless him, And I mean, he runs up and down the court and,
okay.
Does not just...
To his credit.
Yeah, I give him a lot of credit, But it's not just like half court, It's like the whole court up and
okay.
back, And I just find it amazing,
Yeah, that's not it. That's hard on the body.
Yeah, yeah. And, it seems to me... let me reverse that. Do you find that you're treating, say, students, high school students,
mm-hmm.
for sports injuries mainly because they're pushing too hard because of pressure from the outside to maybe get a scholarship or whatever to college and in that particular sport?
That's definitely become a much more common problem or frustration that we experience on the other end of injuries, and we refer to it as the overtraining or overuse epidemic, actually, is what some of the researchers are using, in that younger athletes are more and more now focusing on one particular sport all year round at younger and younger ages, not giving themselves enough of an off-season or break, and developing in a much more one-dimensional manner because they're only playing that one sport. Whereas, I mean, when I was in high school, I played a different sport each season. So I was a three-sport athlete. I took the summers off and just had fun when I was a kid. And these days, there's actually active discouragement to kids if they want to play other sports. Yeah. And they're basically encouraged at younger and younger ages to choose one sport, focus on it, and play it as much as possible. So we see now that oftentimes the injuries that are occurring are due to overuse, overtraining, because these kids, they're not developing in as comprehensive a way as we would like, and the muscles just can't keep up. Their bodies can't keep up with the training. I mean, we see now kids, younger athletes, are training more and participating in sports for greater periods of time throughout the year than professional athletes. Professional athletes are getting bigger periods of rest in the off-season than some of these high school and grade school athletes are.
Do you find that it's – I don't want to prosecute the parents, but do you find that it's the parents pushing the kid to –
I think it's a little bit of everyone. I think I very much see it's the coaches who are encouraging it. I think the kids see their peers doing it, so the kids are pushing themselves. I think the parents similarly are seeing their friends and their friends' children doing this. So it's everyone has their own bit of responsibility in the mix. There's no one in particular.
Right.
That can be.
Because like you said, you know, when you played, and like when I grew up, when I was in high school, I played three sports, baseball, football, and wrestled. And a lot of kids did that. They may not have wrestled. They may have played soccer or whatever the case may be or something else. But they played a couple different sports.
Right.
And now you see it's like you were saying. They're focusing on just, say, football or baseball or whatever. But it's only that sport, you know.
Right.
And it's just, you know, like even soccer.
Mm-hmm.
They got the mobile soccer teams, you know, that play, and they go around all over, you know, and, oh, where you going? Oh, I got to go down to Maryland this week. My kid's playing it.
Oh.
I mean, give me a break. Really?
I agree.
Know? It's I don't know, you know. I just find that in this day and age, and I don't want to get off on a different tangent, but I just find that kids, and I'm talking not so much the high school because they've already, you know, but the younger ones. They're not kids anymore.
Right. No. And
you know,
that's a big
thing.
I
mean, we used to go play all the time, you know.
Right.
We didn't have all these electronic tools that you can text and type and Skype and all this jazz. We were out playing.
As was I.
And yeah. I mean, you know, I'm saying, you know, we played in the street. You know, we played, you know, we running bases, you know, and we played stoop ball and we played, you know, off the wall. We threw boxes on the school thing and played in the, you know, somebody pitched, somebody hit, you know, with a stick ball bat, you know, and a rubber ball, you know. But, you know, and then we played Little League and, you know, whatever. It just, but you were playing all the time. It wasn't like you were living and breathing this one thing, you know.
Right.
And I don't know. I'm not saying it was better, but it certainly wasn't worse, I can tell you that, at least from my point of view.
Very different.
Yeah, it is. All right, so you have a patient. I don't want to say just a patient. It's not necessarily sports. How do you develop a treatment for that particular individual? Well, based on what they're complaining about or aching over or whatever?
Well, and every evaluation in that case, we'd be evaluating a patient. It's particular to that individual, so we're finding out a backstory to what brings them to the office, how their symptoms initially began, any surrounding factors or things that might play a role in those symptoms occurring. And then we're taking a look at, for instance, if it's a shoulder patient, everything around the shoulder and the surrounding structure. So how they're moving, is it painful, is there weakness, are there range of motion restrictions, do certain things make their symptoms worse, do certain things make their symptoms better. So we're really trying to kind of peel away the layers of what's going on to understand exactly why a person is having those particular symptoms or those deficits or that dysfunction. So a person who might be simply having pain versus the person who physically can't raise their arm overhead because it's just too weak, or the person who can't raise their arm overhead because the motion is restricted. So what we're doing within that particular session is trying to find out exactly why those things are happening. And more often than not, unless it tends to be a traumatic event, there are a lot of little factors at play. Some can be related to strength, flexibility, joint mobility, all of which we need to understand how big a role each plays.
Right.
And then from that information, we're putting together a program that addresses those areas to work on improving them, whether it's just flexibility or simply strength or a combination of both. And then from there, we're also providing what we call a home program, which is a program or a group of exercises that will complement the program that we'll be performing or developing in our office. So it's a kind of a multifaceted approach. Mm-hmm. We have the hands-on manual work we're doing with a patient in our office in a program, say, that's focused on strength and flexibility that we're working on with them in our office. And we also have a program that we're giving them to do at home that really builds off of what we're doing in the office.
Right.
So they're complementary to one another. And the idea being we want to maximize not only what we're the gains we're making in the office, but also when they're outside of our office, those gains continue, that we continue on a daily basis to work on improving strength or flexibility, for instance. And then from there, over the course of time, we're working to have a person ideally recover completely, whether it be become pain-free, return to a certain hobby, activity, sport, or even simply return to work. I mean, we have patients out of work, for instance, that the biggest goal is obviously getting back to work.
Right, so. Right. And they may not be out of work because of work.
Exactly.
Yeah, you know, it could be something else, you
mm-hmm.
know.
Mm-hmm.
It's just, I know there's no time limit on how long it takes a person to see some kind of results, mm-hmm. and I'm sure it's on an individual basis. But what generally is a time before you see any results?
Well,
say a person is follows your directions verbatim.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
You tell them to exercise at home every day, do this, this, and this, and they're doing it every day. You know, just in a general.
I typically want to see, and I will say it out loud to patients, within 1 to 2 weeks, I want to see positive change. And it might not be a person recovering completely, but a noticeable improvement in symptoms, whether it be pain-related or function, where a person says, well, I still have pain, but I notice it's easier for me to do this, this, and this. And that 1 to 2 week period of time, if things aren't changing, then it's really telling me we're not going in the right direction.
Right.
Because typically that first week, I expect a person to potentially see a slight increase in soreness or a slight increase in discomfort because we're doing new things.
Mm-hmm.
You're introducing different movements or activities that the body in that area might not be very tolerant of.
Right. Hmm. Okay. I just was curious, you know, because you know, you hear some people, oh, I've been going to therapy for, 4 months.
Oh.
You know, well, it's like,
something's wrong.
Yeah. Did you do anything that they told you to do, you
mm-hmm.
know?
Mm-hmm.
You know, when I had my knees replaced, prior to that, I want to say it was probably about 2 months prior, to the operation. Mm-hmm. They gave me a little booklet, and it was like maybe 6 or 8 exercises in there. And they said, do them at least twice a day. I did them at least twice, sometimes 3 times a day.
Oh, wow.
Okay? I wanted to have the best, you know, thing going in. I mean, I'm having both my knees taken out and replaced. So I wanted to, you know. After they did it, they gave me a thing and said, do these 6 exercises at least once a day. I would do them at least twice a day, sometimes 3 times a day. After the operation, I was in rehab up in Kessler, up in Chester. Mm-hmm. And they would come to me in the morning. Like, we'd go to this humongous gym they had up there. And they'd say, you all right? Yeah, well, why don't you go walk around the gym? I got to get these 2 people out, you know, the therapist. I got to get these 2 people out. They can't get out of the wheelchair, blah, blah, blah. I'm walking around with a walker. And people say, what are you in here for? I had both my knees replaced. You did? I have my 1 knee replaced. I can't even get out of it. And then you get to talking to them, and you find out that either they didn't do the exercises prior that they were asked to do, or they didn't do them as often as they should have.
Right.
They said every day they did them maybe twice a week. And now they're wondering why they're not recovering as quickly. I had no pain. Now, they tell me I got a high tolerance for pain, which more than one doctor has told me that. So I may be. I don't know. But I do know that I did what they told me to do, you know. And I'm saying because I did what they told me to do, it helped a great deal.
Absolutely.
And I got out of therapy faster and got rid of the cane and the walker and everything faster because I did what they asked me to do. And it was like, why not do it? If you're going to go through this, why not, you know, all right, it's one thing, you know, you get hurt and you want to get better. So, yeah, you do what you guys tell me to do.
Right.
But don't go if you're not going to do it. I mean, what's the sense? Maybe it's me and I'm stupid, but, you know, if you go to a rehab for anything, for whatever the case may be, and they tell you to do certain things, why don't you do them?
It's funny, and we that's a frustration for us, especially because for the most part, most of what we are encouraging or demonstrating or working with in rehab are things that translate to home.
Right.
With the idea being it's about accountability, and we always say this. It's really the success of a rehab primarily rests in that patient's lap. If he or she is consistent with kind of the instructions and input or direction we give, the exercises in our office, but more so what we have them doing at home. And I always say to patients, when you think about the course of a week and how many hours in a week, and I think I've counted this, 172 hours in a week. And if a person is coming to physical therapy for about an hour twice a week, you're really focusing on improving something with our side-by-side direction 2 hours out of the entire week. So if for the rest of the 170 hours out of the week, you're really kind of putting it to the side and ignoring it until you get back. And I say this very clearly. Chances are we won't be as successful in the rehab because those other 170 hours are essentially going to nullify the couple hours that we're really focusing on in the office. So to your point, like you said, if people aren't really following up and following through at home, the overall success of physical therapy is greatly reduced.
Yeah, you would think, you know.
But people oftentimes and unfortunately want to kind of point the finger somewhere else, say, well, this isn't working, this isn't helping. And there's only so much.
Well, yeah, there's only, you can do in exactly, office. You know. And I just could never comprehend that. And it just always boggled my mind, you know. You know, like you go to the doctor. You know, and the doctor gives you, and you've got he gives you an antibiotic and tells you to take it for 10 days, you know.
You take it for 6.
Take it for 6 and stop because you're feeling better.
Right.
You know, and, you know.
Great analogy, yeah.
You know, it's true, and people do that, you know. And, I'm involved. In fact, I do the show prior to this is Mental Health Matters. It's about NAMI, the National Alliance on Mental Illness, and such. And I we teach classes to families who have a mentally ill person, you know. And people will say, well, they stopped taking the meds. They come out of the hospital and they took meds for 3 days and then they stopped. And I always use the example of going to the doctor and, you know, he gives you an antibiotic for 10 days and tells you to take it for 10 days. And how many take it for 10? Right. Raise your hand. Maybe out of the 20 people, three raised their hand, you know. And I look at the others and I'll say, why'd you stop? You felt good.
Right.
Yeah. Yeah, I didn't need it anymore. Well, why do you think the person with mental illness has stopped taking a medication? Because he came out of the hospital, he's feeling good. Because for the last 3 weeks or whatever, he's been on medication and he's been taking it religiously, you know. So the only difference with him as opposed to you, you know, you're not going to get your infection back. He will get his back, you know.
Right.
But it's just, you know, it just amazes me. It's, you know, are there... Well, I'm assuming that you, like we're just talking about, I'm assuming you have the patients do some sort of exercise or thing on their own at home.
Always.
Mm-hmm. And, you know, it's I would imagine it's a handful of exercises or whatever, depending on where they're, what they're repairing.
Yes, right? And you know. Where they are in their rehab. We're always updating. We're adjusting it based on the improvement or lack mm-hmm. thereof. And, again, within all our offices, it's we provide – pictures, descriptions, so they go home with something in their hands that
right.
is easy to follow.
Right. We have to take a quick break. This is 100 Medical Center's Hour, and we'll be right back. So hang in there.
Did you know that 1 in 5 people are affected by mental illness? NAMI Hunterdon is the locally affiliate for NAMI, the National Alliance on Mental Illness. We are all volunteers, and all our programs are free of charge. We offer Family to Family, a 12-week course for families that have an adult member with a mental illness. Another popular program is In Our Own Voice, where individuals who are living with mental illness discuss their challenges and their progress in overcoming those challenges. Another course we offer is Basics, a 6-week course for families with a child or an adolescent who has experienced mental illness. We also have a monthly support group for families on the third Thursday of every month. Please call NAMI Hunterdon at 908-284-0500 for more information about any of our programs or to join. NAMI Hunterdon, the voice for mental health in Hunterdon County.
At Crown Trophy of Flemington, we have thousands of products for you to choose from. Whether you're looking for trophies, plaques, or corporate awards, Crown Trophy of Flemington is your one-stop shop. We feature acrylic and crystal awards and promotional products for any occasion. We build and engrave all awards right on site, and we're a leading supplier of varsity jackets for local sports teams. We provide quality customer service and great pricing. Crown Trophy of Flemington is conveniently located in the Staples Shopping Center in Flemington. Crown Trophy of Flemington, we're trophies and a whole lot more.
Good morning, Hunterdon. This is Big C coming to you from HunterdonChamberRadio.com at the studio offices of the Hunterdon County Chamber of Commerce in Flemington, New Jersey. Good morning, Hunterdon kicks off your day by providing you with local news, traffic, and weather, as well as light topics through Vitamin C, Wake Up Call, and Chamber Chat. I also have many guests focusing on Hunterdon County community, business, and education. Listen to me every weekday morning from 8 a.m. to 10 a.m. on Good Morning Hunterdon, HunterdonChamberRadio.com.
Hi, I'm Joe Peters of Weichert Realtors. Buying or selling a property can be one of the most expensive undertakings you face in your lifetime.
and selecting the right realtor to help you through this process can dramatically affect your success or your failure. I have personally helped hundreds of buyers and sellers through this process in achieving their dreams and goals in 100 in Somerset County areas over the past 10 years. I believe that this experience should be a smooth, seamless one for you and not a roller coaster ride. But the best judgment as to whether or not I deliver this to my customers is their reactions in their own words.
One of the things we liked about Joe was that he would return calls within minutes if he wasn't able to pick up.
You know, Joe guided us through the process of selling our home and made a complicated transaction appear seamless.
How do I accomplish this? By approaching every transaction from a business perspective. Initially, I try to fully understand your goals and dreams and make them my own. Then, I go out and take the mass amounts of data that we have and distill them down to a few understandable action points to be considered. Finally, I control the entire process through technology to ensure that we're not going to hit any speed bumps along the way. The end result to you is a smooth, rewarding customer experience. Let me show you how to take my level of professional expertise and put it to work for you in achieving your real estate goals and dreams. I can be reached at 908-238-0118. Thanks for your time.
Rab Coins of Flemington, New Jersey has been in business for over 37 years. We are highly competitive buyers of gold, silver, and platinum coins, jewelry, and scrap metals, and have recently been named the exclusive gold buyer for Diamond Nation and HealthQuest. We also provide professional appraisal, sales, and liquidation services for individuals, law firms, estate trustees, and bank trust departments in New Jersey and Philadelphia. Products and services include gold and silver, American and foreign coins, certified rare date and modern coins, numismatic supplies and books, gold, silver, and platinum bullion, paper currency, United States proof, and mint sets, including current issues. From junior collector to the experienced investor, Rab Coins has been for numismatists since 1974. Founder and owner, Randy Block, an expert numismatist, has been an active member of the coin industry for over 45 years. Visit us at 56 Main Street in historic downtown Flemington or call toll-free 1-800-819-9875.
Welcome back to the Hunterdon Medical Center's Hour, compliments of the Hunterdon County Chamber of Commerce. I'm Larry Cartwright, and we're privileged to have with us today Andrew Overman, who is a physical therapist. Got it right this time. Mm-hmm. he is involved with therapy, also sports therapy, and you have given the six locations you had.
Mm-hmm. Correct.
Would you mind just briefly doing them again?
Oh, absolutely. We have six outpatient physical therapy offices. Two in the Flemington area. We have one on Westcott, right next to the hospital.
Right next to the hospital.
And my office, 100 in Sports and Physical Therapy, is on the corner of 31 and Bartles Corner. So across Route 31. I remembered.
Remember the name, right?
Remember the name. Yeah. And we have two wellness centers. One in Clinton and one in White House. And then we also have a physical therapy office in Washington.
Okay.
And our inpatient office within the hospital as well.
Okay. Now, we talked about high school teenagers and playing. What about children? Six, seven, five?
Yes. We have sort of a limit with respect to most of our offices, because since we don't utilize support staff, there's different age groups. When the kids get really, really young, we tend to refer them to the hospital. The hospital does have more of a pediatric physical therapy.
Right.
Within my office or any of our outpatient offices, for instance, I have, and we can work with kids as young as six or seven,
okay,
depending on what's going on. And again, those would be primarily orthopedic issues like injuries, trauma,
mm-hmm,
neurological or developmental delays. Obviously, at the hospital, we would have those children referred or directed to the hospital because they have services that are more well-equipped.
Right, right. Now, I can understand that. Yeah, because, you know, you're more older.
A little bit.
A little bit older. Yes, you do.
Older and more orthopedic.
Right,
oriented.
Right, mm-hmm, right. Is there an age limit on the other end, like old people like me?
Yeah. Well, no, and actually the spectrum of age, it really depends on the person. I mean, we work with patients 90-plus years old, depending on their injury or their functional tolerance. I think depending on the level of involvement, if a person requires a lot more supervision or would benefit from a safety standpoint of being in an office that has a greater amount of support staff, none of our offices are ever averse to calling a physical therapy office that's not with Hunter Medical Center if we think that it would be a better fit. So
okay.
We want to make sure the patient gets what's best for them, and we're willing to help find that if we don't think our office or any of our offices are appropriate.
Okay. Now, do you take insurance?
We do. A broad range of insurances, again, within the hospital system. And typically, if a person calls and they're not sure, we always can check on that. And actually, oftentimes, our front office personnel will contact the individual's insurance directly to get the specifics of what the coverage is, mm-hmm. whether it be co-pays, co-insurance, anything
right.
like that. So.
You take Medicare?
Yes.
Okay. Mm-hmm. Medicaid, I guess,
Medicaid
is the other?
Medicaid as well.
Right. Okay.
Which is New Jersey Health.
Right.
Actually,
right.
My office in particular takes that.
Okay.
Mm-hmm. Covers that, I should say.
When you have a patient, and we were talking about doing things at home, and I understand that what you're going to give them is geared to their specific situation.
Mm-hmm.
But a lot of times, is it exercises that you have them do, or is it I'll say like if it's a shoulder, it's like lifting their arm up or down or something like that, or what basically is the at-home in general? I know you can't.
In general, it would be particular to what we think the underlying cause of that, and I'll say dysfunction is. If it's an injury or something traumatic where there's, using the shoulder as an example, if a person has significant shoulder weakness, we might have some basic strengthening exercises to
okay.
work on particular areas of shoulder weakness and help improve upon that.
Mm-hmm.
If it's a back injury, it might be more of a flexibility issue. So
okay.
we have some flexibility activities. Also postural awareness, neck, back injuries
mm-hmm.
or back ailments can be largely the result of postural problems where a person is slouching too much or they're sitting in a position during the day that puts excess pressure on certain areas. So we'll work on a person's awareness of those
mm-hmm.
areas that need attention and give them exercises that help to improve or encourage improved awareness, encourage increased strength, things like that. So again, it could be strength-based, flexibility-based, posture-based,
okay.
everything under the sun, depending on what's going on.
Could it be a direct result of a motor vehicle accident
Absolutely.
Or a motorcycle accident?
Mm-hmm.
Or
mm-hmm.
Okay.
And those, at times, the traumatic injuries like that, like an accident or a fall, sometimes are easier for us to identify the causative factors
mm-hmm.
and areas that need improvement because it can be straightforward. The muscle injury can be straightforward, whereas the injuries or ailments that people come to our office with that have no particular incident they can attribute it to or point their finger to and just say, you know, I noticed 6 months ago my shoulder started hurting. I didn't do anything differently. Just one day it was bothering me when I was reaching to grab something out of the cabinet. At times those can be a little more difficult because we really have to do some detective work.
Could be the way they tried to grab it out of the cabinet too.
It could be something they've been doing for years that just over time has started to kind of chip away at a person's strength.
Right.
So that's what keeps it interesting and unique to each individual because we could have five people with the same kind of shoulder pain and each person can have a different causative factor as to why they have shoulder pain. So.
Right. It's interesting. You know.
It is. Yeah. It keeps it interesting, and it's great because you're participating or you're a part of something where you're helping a person understand their bodies and how to really take control and overcome those things. So it can be very empowering for the person because part of the process is helping him or her understand how they can improve upon
mm-hmm.
what's going on and not rely on the physical therapist, not rely on a chiropractor or
right,
the doctor.
Right.
So it gives them the control, which is it's a great thing to be a part of because you give that to them and they take it and they don't have to rely on anyone else. So.
Yeah. Man, that's interesting because, you know, it's if it's like they're not relying on someone other than themselves to help get their situation taken care of.
Yes.
I mean, yes, they have you and, you know, your staff and such, but still, when you say, here, take this home and read it and do these things, it's their responsibility. So it's like they're the reason they get better or not,
yes.
You know, but pretty much if you stop and think about it, you know. And it more or less puts the responsibility on them to do what you're asking them to do if they want to get better.
Agreed. Exactly. And we really, and that's a big emphasis throughout the entire process, is this is very much in your control. If you want to improve, these are the things you need to do. It's very straightforward. You don't have to buy a lot of equipment. It's really just understanding the why and following certain steps. And oftentimes we can almost guarantee if you continue with these and you stay consistent, you will feel tremendously better. If you don't, very little will change. So.
Yeah.
Easier said than done sometimes.
It's true. That's true.
And it's a slow process. And we are more and more in a society where we all, myself included, you want things to change quickly. You want the pill or the injection.
Oh, yeah. It's got to be done today. Yep. You know.
And I want this gone.
Right.
And unfortunately, with that approach at times, people can miss the why of it.
Right.
And not realize that the quick fix, unfortunately, leaves them susceptible to that very same problem rearing its head again.
Right, down the road.
In the future.
Right, right, exactly. If someone wanted to get examined or schedule an appointment or I guess they get processed, if they come to you, you get like screened as to what happened, examined.
We would do the evaluation. So they'd call my office and we would set up an appointment time. Typically it takes about an hour, the first session. Well, and each successive session is about an hour. And we check on their insurance. We give them all that information. And depending on the insurance, some people might need a prescription from their physician or a referral from their insurance.
Right.
So we find all that out for them and let them know, and we go from there.
You want to give them the number?
Yes. My office in particular is 908-237-7096.
237-7096.
908.
All right. Andrew, I appreciate your coming on. We're out of time already.
You know, it goes quickly.
It does go quickly. But thank you so much. And, you know, I hope you have a very happy Memorial Day.
Thank you. You too.
And we will not be here next week. The chamber is closed for Memorial Day. We will see you in 2 weeks. So enjoy the Memorial Day and remember the veterans who made it possible for us to have our freedom. God bless. Take care. See you in 2 weeks.
Have a great day.
Did you know that 1 in 5 people are affected by mental illness? NAMI Hunterdon is the locally affiliate for NAMI, the National Alliance on Mental Illness. We are all volunteers, and all our programs are free of charge. We offer Family to Family, a 12-week course for families that have an adult member with a mental illness. Another popular program is In Our Own Voice, where individuals who are living with mental illness discuss their challenges and their progress in overcoming those challenges. Another course we offer is Basics, a 6-week course for families with a child or an adolescent who has experienced mental illness. We also have a monthly support group for families on the third Thursday of every month. Please call NAMI Hunterdon at 908-284-0500 for more information about any of our programs or to join. NAMI Hunterdon, the voice for mental health in Hunterdon County.
USA Radio News with Audrey Strong.
Forceful preparation will be the key to combating the spread of the Zika virus in the U.S. USA's Anthony Lucero has more.
People who get infected in the United States get bitten by a mosquito, but who have never left the continental United States. We fully expect that that will happen as we get to the more robust mosquito season in the next month or so.
That's Dr. Anthony Fauci of the National Institute of Allergy and Infectious Diseases. And he told ABC's this week that there are more than 500 travel-related cases in the U.S. He said the country needs forceful preparation to prevent sustained or disseminated outbreaks. Dr. Fauci also revealed that his agency is aggressively developing a vaccine and could go into trials to determine its safety for use on humans by September. I'm Anthony Lucero.
This is USA Radio News. Breaking news online at usaradio.com.
We all want to live long, healthy lives, and we know that smoking is not a part of making that happen. We all know the dangers, but we also know that it's tough to quit smoking and make it stick. And that's where Nicol Block comes in. It comes in a little bottle, and when you put it on the filter of your cigarette, it blocks the inhalation of tar and nicotine. So you got to check this out. Go to nicolblock.tv and find out more. You can also call 877-835-6060. Now, whether this is your first time quitting or your fifth, Nicol Block